Welcome, my friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me today. And we're going to do a recapitulation of COVID, a reboot, so to speak, of COVID. COVID-19. Remember COVID-19 happened?
Joy. Let's revisit something that is just a walk down memory lane and full of nostalgia.
Well, I'm not the
Where's my mask?
I'm not the only one doing this.
Excuse me. Can I get vaccinated before we get started?
Again. We'll talk about vaccinations.
Yeah.
Or the shot. Technically, it's not a vaccine. But about an hour ago, President Biden was in a press conference, and this is what he said. We'll get through at least this year. We do need more money, but we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. And then he said, there's going to be another pandemic. So I guess there's some predestination going on. He's scheduling it in.
Yeah.
It's scheduled in, I guess, before the 2024 elections. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does. Because, I mean, I didn't realize we had elected a prophet as well as a president.
Yeah, well, evidently they're planning it. You know, he's pretty sure it's going to happen because he's got to raise some money for this right now. Second pandemic is coming. He said it's happening. There's going to be another pandemic. He doubled up on this, and which doesn't make, I guess, a lot of sense. Or does it make sense? Maybe it does make sense.
Well, let's tell me when you think it's going to happen. When you think his prophetic word is going to come true here.
Well, I think the best time to schedule in would be roughly April of 2023. I mean, that gives you some time, doesn't it?
I'm saying October of this year.
Okay, so if you were going to schedule it in for the 2024 elections, you would put in what? October of 2024?
Yeah, no.
Or 22?
22, because we got the midterms. He's got the blunt. He has to blunt the takeover by the Republicans at all the levels. So he's got to create some kind of panic.
What is this going to do for the tinfoil hats out there? If you think about the conspiratorialists who believes that the first pandemic was entirely planned. And by the way, it was planned.
Yeah.
It was certainly purposed by God Almighty. Yeah. Because remember, all of the evil that happens in the world is well within the plan of God himself. And the judgment of God has descended upon this nation in many forms, including the form of COVID-19. And, but, you know, it's no surprise to me that scientists are going to use science and have used science for the detriment of mankind. That doesn't surprise me at all. Why? Because the hearts of men are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So that being the case, and given that science is taught without the fear of God in the universities and is practiced without the fear of God by every Frankenstein and every laboratory across this nation, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever that they would use weapons of mass destruction or biological weaponry developed in a lab in Wuhan funded by the United States government to bring about some kind of a worldwide disaster. That doesn't surprise me at all. And I don't even have a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, I've got the case of them out in the car. I'm going to be selling them out on the street corner.
Okay. All right. And you've lost yours.
Yeah.
But, wow. You know, science without the fear of God will result in all sorts of destruction. And friends, that's what we're looking at. Certainly, the technocracy is going to do certain things that will not necessarily be for the benefit of mankind from your perspective, but the decrease of human population is well within the plan and purpose of many in power today. Wouldn't you agree that really the idea of population control and the reduction of human populations is something that is desirable, that considered something of a public good on the part of the planners, those that do not fear God and those that have put themselves in a place of social planning and are working very hard to become God on earth, either as scientists or as technocrats.
What? Right, because people are a blessing, not a curse. Short term, more people bring more problems, but long term, they bring more solutions.
Well, that's your worldview talking.
Yeah, it is. And children are a blessing. Uh-huh. And yet the other side, those who are anti-God, say that people are a curse on the planet and that children are a curse, that work is a blessing and children or hard labor is a blessing, and children are a curse. And when Scripture says just the opposite, doesn't it?
Will science save us or destroy us? And friends, you've heard me talk this way before. A science without the fear of God, of course, will have a destructive effect on human society. Already has. Science, technology has been used to destroy about a third to one half of the population, thanks to Margaret Sanger's birth control pill and the advanced forms of surgical abortions and such. Friends, the bottom line is we use science to eliminate about a third to one half of the world's population, and electronic forms, as well as biological weaponry, has already been used very, very negatively to destroy human life on planet Earth. Friends, this is an obvious. So will there be another attempt at this if there is no repentance, if the churches have not revived, if there is no sense of a turnaround to cry out for the mercy of God and to repent in sackcloth and ashes? That has not happened. Then sure, you can count on COVID 20, COVID 22, 23, 24, or whatever it's going to be. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay with me.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack as well. Question today, will science save us or will it destroy us? Now, the vaccine has been touted as something that has saved us, that science came in and rescued us. You know, we've got this manufactured disease. Now, I'm not saying who manufactured it, but it certainly was something of a manufactured disease, COVID-19, that infected a good proportion of the world population. And voila, the technocrats, government-funded science, and everybody else rushed in to save us. I think the jury is still out on this one. Did the vaccine save us? Did science rush in and save us after COVID-19? The CDC has released the U.S. provisional death rates, which we publish on theworldview.com on Tuesday morning, 3.46 million. Now, what's important about that, Bill, is that that's still 80,000 above the COVID year of 2020. So we still have an increase, you know. And remember that the vaccines were first let loose upon the nation in December of 2020.
So you had a full year of
vaccine. Okay, yeah. So you get a full year of vaccine. And, of course, I'm looking for the provisional rate. Now, here's one of the tough issues here is, you know, we don't trust the data. That's one of the big issues. We don't trust data. Some data more trustworthy than others. You got to pick your data. But I don't really trust much data at all. Now, I think the provisional death numbers from the CDC might be about the most trustworthy thing that the CDC is still responsible for. Now, the cause of these diseases, how many actually died of the vaccine or how many actually died of the disease itself, COVID-19, who knows? It's hard to trust any of the data out there. I need an amen from the listening audience. Okay, yeah. Okay. So it's hard to trust the data, but at least the provisional death data for 2020 and 2021 seems to me to give us something of some macro numbers. So we look at the macro numbers and we say, okay, so death rate increase 2021, and they're still attributing, you know, 400,000 or 500,000 deaths to COVID. They're still doing that. But whatever the case, the increase in deaths between 2020 and 2021 was some 80,000. The CDC's vaccine tracker records 90% of the U.S. population over 18 having received at least one shot as of today. But by July or August of last year, you're looking at 80%. About 80% by the end of last year had had at least one of the shots for the COVID-19 disease. So now you've got a year. You got 2021 is supposed to be the vaccine year as compared to 2020, which was the vaccine-less year, and yet still an increase of 80,000 deaths. What gives?
Well, maybe.
Did science really save us?
Maybe we had an increase in the population so that 80,000 is just a. No, you're not thinking that.
No. In aggregate, friends, you're looking at 80,000 more people died in 2021 as 2020. But the bottom line is you didn't decrease the death numbers. Because ideally, you would have decreased the death numbers. That was the whole plan for the vaccine.
Right.
Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Rather, you know, the aggregate number seemed to indicate that it really didn't come down. You would have thought the vaccine would have helped. Given all the full court press, the Biden cheerleading, and the government enforced push at every single level, it didn't do much of anything at all. It certainly didn't decrease the aggregate death level in 2021. What, 50% fully vaccinated by July, 80% had at least one shot. Now, 90% has at least one shot. Here's the big takeaway, friends. Despite all the news to the contrary, the 1,543,647 news stories that touted the vaccine and all of the, you know, shutting down of the contrary message on the part of the little guy in the Emperor's New Clothes procession. You know, there was a fair amount of shutting down of every single voice that might have questioned the effectiveness of the vaccine, right? So despite the millions upon millions of positive stories pushing so hard, science and government did not save us in 2021. 80,000 more deaths in 2021. I mean, is that an obvious?
It
seems to me that's an obvious.
It is, but don't confuse me with the facts.
Well, I want to do that. In fact, I'm going to do that next on Generations. How many people actually got COVID? How many people died of COVID? How many people died of the COVID shot? These numbers are up for grabs. But here's the bottom line. Science did not save us. Now, science is uncertain, and modern science is less and less trustworthy. You agree with that?
Yeah.
And why? Why is modern science less and less trustworthy, and why are people less and less likely to trust the media as they report on science? Well, friends, here's the deal. There's significant bias. There's a lack of discipline, a lack of transparency. We've already done stories in that scientists are less and less likely to repeat studies already done. Repeatability studies less and less in the present day as compared to the way it used to be done over the previous 1,000 years of Western science. They're just not repeating studies anymore. Why? Because studies don't matter. It's the hypothesis, the theory. It's I've got a PhD. What, you're going to challenge my hypothesis? You got to be kidding me. Spell it out. PhD, a white coat. I went through college. I've got a PhD. Trust me, I'm a scientist. I've got a hypothesis. Fall down on your knees and just simply say, I'm not worthy to be in the presence of you and your hypothesis. That, my friends, is the attitude of scientists today. I'm just telling you. There's a lack of transparency. There's a suppression of information. There's a pride among those who are attached to their hypotheses. And there's this bias of the data by bad worldviews and by an intoxicated, irrational commitment to achieve a certain outcome in your study. I'm just telling you, that's the way science is done these days. However, here's the good news. Science is making money. Pfizer went from $40 billion a year in 2019 to $80 billion in revenue in 2021. And they're headed for $100 billion this year. $25 billion increase in just the first quarter of this year. Bill, that's from $40 billion 2019 and now upwards of $100 billion company. Wow, that's a cool $60 billion. These guys are making it hand over fist. That's about 50 times what it takes to get elected the president of the United States. You know, I'm not saying anybody takes bribes. I'm not saying that, am I? My friends, I wonder how much Fauci gets off the top. I'm just saying it. I'm just saying it. How much did Fauci get off the top of the $100 billion or the $60 billion boost? Biblically, the government has no business in the area of medical science, certainly no business mandating vaccines as it did over the last 2 years, and to the benefit of Pfizer and all their friends on the board. Maybe a Christmas card might be in order from, you know, Pfizer to the President of the United States and Trump. Yeah. Maybe a Christmas card would be nice. I mean, $60 billion, I mean, come on, at least a Christmas card, right? Shouldn't you at least get a Christmas card out of it? Or maybe a cool $50 million for the 2024 campaign. I mean, either way. You with me here, Bill?
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of money, you can't avoid some form of graft. I'm just saying it. I don't trust people with money. And I certainly don't trust governments that are rendering certain favors to the pharmaceuticals. I'm that's where I'm at.
You are such a skeptic.
That's where I'm at.
You know, yeah. Why can't you
call
just
me a Calvinist? Okay, just say it. Okay. You're a Calvinist. Believe that man is depraved. His heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and he doesn't do very well with lots of power and money.
If you can't trust the government, whom can you trust?
Jesus, how about that? How about that? How about trusting God? In God we trust. You with me there?
Yeah.
Pfizer isn't making as much money sticking two-year-old children with a jab in Florida, though. Did you get the message on that just yesterday? Florida governor is the only leader in America that didn't drink the Kool-Aid, evidently. And CNN is so mad. Man, are they mad. One little guy in America who says the dude's nude in the Emperor's new clothes processional. Here's CNN this morning. DeSantis defends Florida's decision to be the only state not to pre-order the COVID vaccines for kids under five. He's the only state. Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, is not going to order the jab for five-year-olds. That's CNN as of this morning. Very upset. Very upset. There's not going to be any state programs going to be trying to, you know, get COVID jabs to infants and toddlers, newborns. DeSantis, a Republican, said at a news conference in South Florida. DeSantis said Thursday that the risks outweigh the benefits of vaccinating young children. Studies have affirmed the safety of vaccines, and health experts have been very critical of the Florida Department of Health's previous recommendation against vaccinating healthy children between 5 and 17. You know, this is CNN writing, just very critical about Ron DeSantis, who is the one little guy in the Emperor's New Clothes processions. Go, I think the dude's nude. DeSantis's remarks came in a day after it emerged that Florida was the only state that's not pre-ordered vaccines for children under the age of five. After the White House had last week announced it had made 10 million vaccine doses available to states, territories, tribes, and others to prosper. Well, friends, that despite the data. Don't confuse me with the data.
No,
right?
No,
but that despite the data. And friends, I know most of us don't trust the data. But hey, off the VAERS data, Columbia University study found, Columbia University study found the vaccine fatality rate for 0 to 17-year-olds is 0.04%. That is, children 0 to 17 years of age are 10 to 100 times more likely to die of the vaccine than the disease. Children under 17 years of age, according to the Columbia University study, and I can shoot off this Columbia University study by link if you're interested. It's researchgate.net. So it's, you know, researchgate.net publishes university papers, scientific papers on these various issues. And so if you want to researchgate.net it, you're going to find that this Columbia University study found the vaccine fatality rate for 0 to 17-year-olds is 0.04%. And it turns out that the death rate from the disease is 0.003%. And that doesn't include comorbidities. If you include comorbidities, it'd be about 0.0003%. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line here is, friends, kids 0 to 17 years of age, 10 to 100 times more likely to die of the vaccine than they are of the disease. Okay, so, I mean, wow. That data is easily accessible. It apparently has not been nixed on Google or some of the other search engines at this point. So, I don't know. There's easily accessible published data from the CDC on death rates. There are 140 million Americans have had COVID as of February this year, and that's a 0.7% death rate. That's by antibody testing. So they just did, you know, sample size and antibody testing, found 140 million Americans have had COVID so far. It's a 0.7% death rate as of February of 2022. In New York, 86% of the deaths involved at least one comorbidity. 89% were over 50 years of age. Now, if you're under 18 years of age, 0.003% chance of death. That's much better than the flu. So you have a much, much better situation with COVID-19 than the flu if you're under 18 years of age. Bottom line. Under 40, it's a 0.08% chance of death. That's, again, better than the flu. If you're under 50, you got a 0.2% chance of death. That's about the same as the flu. If you're between 50 and 64 years of age, you got a 1.2% chance of death if you get the COVID-19 disease. That's worse than the flu. If you're over 65, you got a 6% chance of death. That's worse than the flu by about sixfold if you're over 65 years of age. Okay, so these numbers are easily accessible. You can get the flu shot if you want. If you can get the COVID-19 shot if you want. Either way. But friends, counting comorbidities, if you throw comorbidities into the mix, if you're under 18 years of age, you got a 0.0003% chance of death if you get COVID-19. The flu is a 0.01% for those under 18 years of age, which is 30 times worse than the COVID's death rate. Okay, so, and again, I mean, this is this is nowhere near as bad as the death rate if you get the vaccine for COVID-19 for those under 18 years of age. Bottom line, under 40 years of age, you had 0.008% chance of death, which for the flu would be about three times worse. Under 64 years of age, you have 0.12% chance of death, which is about the same as the flu for those under 64 years of age, but over 50 years of age. If you're over 65 years of age, you got a 0.6% chance of death. That includes the comorbidity. So if you move aside comorbidity, then you got only 0.6% chance of death if you're over 65 years of age for COVID-19, which is about the same rate as the rate for this group during the 2018 flu season, which was about a 0.8% death rate. The flu is worse than COVID for those under 50 years of age. You would rather get COVID-19 than the flu if you're under 50 years of age on the basis of death rates. COVID is about the same or a little worse than the flu for those over 50 years of age if you include comorbidities. Well, friends, some 41 million people got the flu in the 2017-2018 season in America. 66 million got COVID-19 in the 2020-2021 season in America. So, yeah, a few more people got COVID-19 than those who got the flu, but the death rate's about the same, especially if you are under 50 years of age or under 65 years of age, including comorbidities. Okay, I went through that rather quickly, but this data is easily accessible. And this is the CDC data. So, I mean, I'm just going off of the official data. Some of you out there are going to say, yeah, but, you know, it's nowhere near what the CDC is reporting. I don't really know. I'm just saying, based on the CDC numbers, you would rather get COVID-19 if you're under 18 years of age than you should get a vaccine. At least, you know, if you compare the numbers given by the Columbia University study. All right, well, that's where things are. And yet, 49 states in America are thumbs up on giving those five-year-olds the vaccine. 49 out of 50 states going, yeah, give the kids, despite the fact that it's nowhere near as bad as the flu, despite the fact that, at least according to the Columbia University study, kids are far more likely to die of the vaccine than they are of the disease itself.
Wow.
So what do you say? Well, let me just leave with you with some big picture indisputable facts. And as Bill has said, please don't confuse us with the facts, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. So here we go. Fact number one. The 2020-2021 COVID season was one major step towards big government tyranny, occurring in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm sorry, the home of the slave. That's obvious. That's a fact. There's only been two major increases in the size of government in American history. Now, this is the third. Woodrow Wilson, FDR, and Donald Trump / Biden. Okay, those are the three major increases in the size of government, the biggest steps towards totalitarian government in the history of America, occurred under Woodrow Wilson, FDR, and Donald Trump / Biden. Okay, second major fact, obvious fact, our governments have exerted more control over churches, individuals, and corporations during COVID-19 than any other time in history. And what's going to happen with pandemic number two, as scheduled by the U.S. federal government, at least from what we hear?
Yeah.
I have no idea. But governments have gained more power and control over just about every aspect of life. And they have used the COVID-19 as a ruse to bring all that about. Fact number three, the effect of COVID policies on the economy has been devastating. And it's hard to estimate when the world will ever recover from it. An already fragile, debt-ridden world economy was crippled last year and the year before. Supply lines have been terribly disrupted. Employment's been thrown into the maelstrom. And who knows where all of this is going to end up. Fact number four, the COVID vaccine has been rushed to market largely by the unprecedented force of power exercised by national governments. The National Center for Immunization Research assured us that the whole process of vaccine development to licensure takes around 10 years. The process involves a few dozen subjects for the first year, a few thousand subjects for the next 8 to 9 years. Phase one of the clinical trials by the COVID-19 Moderna shot started up March 2020. By October 24th, 2021, 3.8 billion people worldwide and 220 million Americans had received the shot. Fact number five, there's a significant disagreement among professional doctors on the approach for dealing with the present pandemic and the safety of the shot. That's a no-brainer. There is a huge amount of debate on this. A huge amount of debate. And a debate not taking place in mental institutes between people who think they're Napoleon. This debate is taking place between, sane people, like medical doctors, people we respected, people who know something, not just, you know, crazy people who are broadcasting from basements out in the eastern plains of Colorado. I'm just saying there are intelligent people. Some, what, 860,000 persons have signed the Great Barrington Declaration, including 44,000 medical practitioners and 15,000 public health scientists. I mean, okay, so there are intelligent people who disagree on this issue. And yet, for the most part, they're shut down. There's a highly aggressive suppression of opposing opinions concerning the medical and scientific data. And you know what, Bill? I mean, I just try to get out there and do a little Google to see, you know, where we are on either sides of the issue. You cannot find information by Google. You cannot find it. I mean, I found the Columbia University study, but I had to do a little digging. It was really hard to find it on Google. Google is doing everything they can to suppress information. I mean, I don't think I've ever done radio. I've done analysis for radio programs and run into so many impediments as I have in the last 2 years. It's incredibly difficult. Now, maybe DuckDuckGo and maybe a few other search engines do better than Google, but the bottom line is I have a really hard time finding opposing opinions anymore via Google, which indicates to me there is a suppression of information going on out
there. So what you're saying is they should be changing their name from Google to Gaggle?
Ooh, I like that. Gag/goal. Ooh, yeah. That's really good. Yeah, okay. Let's go with that. Yeah. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I would encourage you to a right view of science and, of course, a right view of government. But my chapter, The Rise and Fall of Western Science in Epoch, is really what I want you to get to. So just grab a copy of Epoch, read the one chapter. You don't have to read the whole book. Read the one chapter, The Rise and Fall of Western Science, because I think it is the most relevant chapter for what we're dealing with right now in the 2020s, as we head on into pandemic 2.0. Okay. All right. Just a bit of tongue-in-cheek there, but I don't know.
I don't know. I've ordered a case of masks.
Okay.
Along with the tinfoil hats.
Can you get the vaccine ahead of time this week?
Oh.
Why do we have to wait? Why can't we get the vaccine, you know, at the same time that the pandemic? I mean, they need to schedule these things better.
Yes.
All right. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Get a copy of Epoch at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.